for another take on the proposal for a balanced budget amendment. Here we're joined by MSU Professor of Economics, Charlie Ballard. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
It's not that hard to understand where proponents of the balanced budget amendment are coming from. The federal deficit is $17 trillion and counting. Many on the right view amending the Constitution is the only way to rein in federal spending, given recent history. But you and many others contend there would be negative consequences. Walk us through why you think a balanced budget amendment's a bad idea.
So if you have a recession, what happens? Let's say you have a recession and you start with a balanced budget. If you have a recession, people lose their jobs. If you lose your job, you don't pay nearly as much in taxes. In fact, in terms of the federal taxes, your federal taxes would go almost to zero if you lose your job. Mm-hmm. That would mean that, all else equal, the federal budget deficit would go up because there's less tax revenue coming in. Also, when people lose their jobs, they're eligible for unemployment compensation and for other things. That, all else equal, would push up the federal budget deficit. And that's actually a good thing for stabilizing the economy when there's a downturn. Because if you insisted on putting the economy into a straitjacket by balancing the budget in every single year, what would happen? Well, you'd have to raise taxes on everybody else, or you'd have to cut. And, you know, Senator Green said that we could shut off Social Security. That's an exact quote from 2 minutes ago. We could do that. But then what would happen to the elderly folks who lost their check? They would spend less. They would not be able to buy as much groceries. They would not be able to do all the things that they do. Then all the merchants who receive money from those folks would have less coming into their cash register. Some of those businesses would go out of business. They would lay off workers. Then you get what this kind of ripple effect, this ongoing multiplier. And what that means is that if you insist on balancing the budget during a recession or a depression, you make that recession into a depression, or you make that depression worse. We've got lots of historical examples from that. And the biggest,
some of them going on right now, it seems to me.
Well, that's right.
Britain. And
Now, let me be very clear. I don't want people to lampoon me as saying, oh, I want the federal budget to just spend without limit and I don't care any about deficits. Of course I care. But sometimes the medicine is worse than the disease. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to pass into the Constitution of the United States something that says that we must turn a recession into a depression. I don't think that's good policy.
One of the ongoing topics related to this is the fact that we stand to, over the longer haul, reduce the deficit more effectively and more dramatically by encouraging growth now through more stimulus than through austerity. Can you just walk us through that argument?
As I just suggested, if you slam on the brakes by raising taxes and cutting spending during a recession, that actually makes the recession worse. And then that throws more people out of work, and at least for a time, that can make your budget deficit worse. Now, most economists would say we don't want to have big deficits every period. Of course not. A reasonable goal would be to balance the budget over the business cycle, where you have surpluses in good times, but then you have the flexibility to run deficits when there's a recession. I want to get back to one thing that both you and Senator Green said about controlling spending. The implication there is that the reason that we have deficits is that our spending is out of control. Federal government spends less than the federal government of any other rich country. What we had is in 1997 through 2000, we had a balanced budget. Mm-hmm. Federal budget was balanced. And then we cut taxes. The tax cuts passed in 2001.
And went to war.
And went to war. Those tax cuts were the big reason for the deficits in the early part of the 21st century. We didn't have huge spending increases. We did have some because we went to war. But the big cause was tax cuts. And so we have to look at that in balance. It's not just spending. It's do you raise enough taxes to cover your spending? And in the United States for the last 40 years, we've had a difficult political debate. Senator Green, I think, would balance the budget by only spending cuts. But there are others who would say, hey, let's not shut off Social Security. And in fact, polls show, surveys show that a vast majority of Americans want there to be higher taxes on high-income people. So it's both sides of the ledger.
How do you see the entitlement situation playing out?
Well, we have committed in the United States.
They're popular programs. I think we've established that.
Yeah. Social Security especially. And yet we've promised more in Social Security payments than we're likely to be able to pay under current projections. That means that either you've got to raise taxes or you've got to cut some benefits or some combination of the two. My guess is that eventually Social Security will be brought into long-run balance by some combination of raising the ceiling on payroll tax contributions. That's one partial thing. We might have a further raise in the retirement
age.
There's dozens of little ways in which you could address a part of the problem, and you could do so in such a way as to add up to balancing the Social Security. Same situation for Medicare, although the Medicare funding situation is more severe. We're going to have to clamp down more on Medicare spending or raise taxes more in order to achieve balance there.
Another common topic is tax loopholes and the revenue that may be contained in those. Do you see tax reform as a encouraging way to shore up the deficit?
Oh, absolutely. Now, of course, every tax loophole has an army of lawyers and lobbyists in Brooks Brothers suits who want to fight hard for
right.
it. But, you know, this is something that tax economists and political leaders have been talking about for years. And, in fact, a couple of years ago, most of the reports are that Speaker Boehner and President Obama came close to the so-called grand bargain, under which we would make both tax reforms, which would include closing some of those tax preferences, and some long-run reforms to entitlements. It can be done. What's missing here is the political will to do it. But I don't think that imposing political will by a balanced budget amendment, which says that you guarantee that the next recession will be much, much worse, I don't think that's the right way to go about it.
Senator Green talked about different scenarios, though, where exceptions would be allowed.
And the current language in the joint resolution, as I read it, does call for exceptions in the case of a national emergency. If there were enough exceptions, you know, for war and for recession and the aftermath of recession, it might be possible to have such an amendment that wouldn't do such profound damage. Although, if you make enough exceptions that it wouldn't do profound damage, pretty soon you don't have the amendment at all. I would prefer to not have such an amendment, not hamstring the policy process, and we need to get people to vote for members of Congress who will be willing to do the unpopular things, which is to make modest cuts in spending and to make increases in taxes.
We've seen a rather bumpy start economically here in 2014. I think the forecast for the year as a whole might still be generally positive in terms of growing the U.S. economy, but we're seeing what a lot of people consider to be the beginning of a correction. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the Federal Reserve's policy of injecting a tremendous amount of liquidity into the system by buying bonds, one of the side effects of that is that it pumps up the stock market. Now, we've known for years that the Fed couldn't continue to buy $85 billion of bonds every year. And so they've already begun to taper that. They'll probably continue. But I think we're likely to be able to withstand a stock market correction.
Okay. Professor Charlie Ballard, economics professor here at Michigan State University, with his thoughts on the balanced budget amendment. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Mark.